Okay, well, it's easy for me to say, start the business yourself, slowly shed the skin, shed the responsibility, pass the responsibility on to Robert or Mary or Janet or whoever you have faith in. You've got to clone yourself. They have to know what you want, what you like, the way you like things. So while you're shedding your skin, while you're passing on this responsibility, you are making a guideline for these folks to take over from you certain aspects that you want them to. The guideline consists of, number one, if you're a company, a corporation, you must have a policy manual. You must let everyone know that these are your philosophies,
your
and policies,
yeah,
and your standards, and you will not, you know, if someone is caught stealing, that they will be let go. You will not stand for sexual harassment. You will not allow someone to come late every time. You know, your basic standards.
Let me interrupt you. Wouldn't you think it might be a good idea for the one-man band, the one, you know, the single-person entrepreneur, to even if they don't have the money right now to hire more people, it'd be kind of a neat way for them to vision themselves bigger by starting their little policy manual now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if I missed out on that, forgive me. Yes, yes, yes.
So the
yes.
network marketer that's out there, or the person that just started their own business and they don't have plans right away to have employees, maybe that's going to be 6 months, a year from now, get going on it now.
Everything good that everything you did that worked out for you, put just jot it down. Make a journal, a note.
And I think what that'll do too is let them see they do believe in the fact that they are going to grow and get bigger, and it helps them to have a vision of having employees, and
yes,
they prove that by writing this information down.
Right. And you know when they say when you write it down.
Oh, yeah.
Your brain accepts it better.
Yep.
Your brain accepts it more.
So keep going on that. So we have the policy manual.
So you've got to have
back.
A policy.
We're still
manual.
Within our dad's thing. That he's
yes.
going to explain that.
Yeah,
in a little.
I haven't gotten to dad.
Keep going.
I'll probably get to dad next week.
Okay, go. we'll wait.
You have to have a procedure manual. A procedure manual is the guy that destroyed that. You had to spend $700 on the nose. you know, the procedure is, this is how you move it.
Mm.
You first you walk around, you make sure there's nothing in the way.
Okay.
You move those things in front of the tires, what do you call them?
Right, we call them chocks.
Chocks,
you got it.
And this is the procedure in moving that plane back and forth.
Now this would be a separate manual from your policy
absolutely,
manual.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because telling them something to do something without telling them how to do it is wrong.
Mm.
That is not the employee's fault. That's your fault.
Good point.
So you must show them the procedures. First, you have the rules of the game, the rules of conduct, the quality control of your standards.
Right.
Then you must show procedure. If someone is writing a bill for a customer, well, they can't write one pair of shoes. They've got to write one pair of shoes, item number 23746, so
right,
that you can replace it, you know.
In inventory.
And that's procedure.
Yep. Okay.
They must know procedure. And you must take the time to teach them. Otherwise, you'll be stamping out fires all your life.
That's a good point because, again, when you're a small business owner, you're wearing 50 million hats, and the last thing you want to do is take time to put this manual or this policy together. But it's so important.
No, you probably have to bring someone in from the outside to do it.
You tell them the procedures or somehow and then have them write it and
yes,
spend the money with
there
them
are,
and have them
right,
put it together.
There are people who specialize in it.
And specialize in what?
In
writing,
helping you
okay,
write policies.
Okay.
In helping you go through the procedures. There are people who, you know, in fact, I do it on the, I'm a consultant, I do it on the side, and I'm not looking for any business
right
now, but there, it'll be, it's sometimes difficult to stop what you're doing because your income stops.
Yes.
And to go back and do this, and you say, wait, why am I writing this when I could be...
I need to make the money.
So go ahead, and again, that's your first lesson of delegate.
You there we
get
go.
Someone in, and they'll ask you the questions. What do you feel about sexual harassment? What do you feel about people coming in late? How to clock in and clock out? You know how much trouble I had with that? You know what a simple thing that is? And yeah. I had so much trouble. My staff used to come in to work, and they used to clock in right away. After they clock in, they put the time card in the holder.
I know what you're getting at.
Then they went in the bathroom.
Yep.
Then they combed their hair. They changed their clothes from their school clothes to whatever they were doing to wear to work. They whatever, brush their teeth, yep. whatever, put on their lipstick. And so 10 minutes later, they came out to go on the sales floor. Same way, leaving at the end of the day.
Wrap
you
up.
Know, they did all that first and then clocked out. So if it cost me 20 minutes per person,
yep.
five people per store, two shifts.
Wow.
You know, do I need to go further here?
One and one is two.
It was about $50,000. And a simple thing like this, wow. under your nose, day in, day out, you don't stop to think. This one thing I'm telling you folks about, all those of you who are going to be that successful, I've just saved you thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars with this simple. And they don't realize, they're not trying to cheat you. They just don't.
That's just their mentality.
They don't know the procedure.
Okay, that's even better. I like that better.
So
yeah,
you've
like
got to tell them, you know, young lady, this is how it works. When you're ready to work, that's when you clock in. In the meantime, when you're putting lipstick on your face or combing your hair, hey, you can't do it on company time.
Right.
That's not allowed. You know, get that. It's very important. After the procedure, there's a thing called operations. Operations is how do they use the register? How does the register, what are the mechanics of a basic cash register or a calculator or every company has some sort of machine
right.
of some sort.
Sure.
And you need to know how to work that safely according to guideline. And you've got to teach them. You know, right now, we, at our place, my wife makes keys. And it's a key-making machine. And you've got to teach someone how to do it. The operations and the procedure. It's kind of two different. This is the procedure, but then if you forget, you turn to the operations and you see, okay, oh, it's not working because this button.
So you actually have a little manual for that now?
Oh, yes.
You know what? I was just thinking, not to interrupt you, your wife was the one who decided, I guess, that she wanted to do her own little business now since you guys sold and retired. She must love having you because I know that she just says, we need this, we need that,
yep.
and you go in there and you're her private consultant who gets to just polish everything up.
Absolutely. You'd be surprised.
Oh, I've got to go take a tour.
It's fun making things easier for her. She was taking four steps to do something.
Yeah.
And I got it to one step, and she's accomplishing a lot more with a lot less time.
So give me some of the other things that you're doing now. So we got the operations, we got the policy.
We've got the procedure.
Procedures.
And then there are two others. There's one that's a forms book, F-O-R-M-S. You need a form. Everybody has to write the same thing in the same way. So, in other words, if you're requesting something from point A to point B, you may end up saying, well, I, Gary Cox, would like you to send me so-and-so, so-and-so, and you're writing this whole Bible out, and then it may not, your handwriting may be bad, or it
right.
may not look right, or you made a spelling error. Well, you need a form. All you do is check and fill in.
Mm.
Makes things go very, very, very fast. So you have to have a book with forms for everything you can possibly think of. Put it in a form. Pre-write everything. So all you do is quickly check
off
and sign off. You know how much time that is?
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to have a forms book. And the last thing, which is the first thing that you have to teach people when they walk into your place for the first day of work, and I'm proud to say I invented this. This is my dad list.
All right, here we go.
Dad list is do's and don'ts. These are the very first things you've got to teach people.
Mm.
Don't park in the handicap parking spot. Don't park too near the store, because then the customer has to park further away. Now, these are simple things, yeah, but they don't know. You've got to tell, you've got to give them, in one day, they must have a general idea of your do's and don'ts.
Mm.
So, little things. Do clock in after you've done all your, you know, some of it is a repetition or an introduction to what they'll see later.
Later, right.
But it's a quick, if I'm talking to a client, don't interrupt me while I'm talking to a client. Do answer the phone in a certain happy tone. It has to be. If you're in a bad mood, do not answer the phone. A lot of people say that it's better to teach in a positive manner, do, rather than don't. I have found there's no way to avoid the don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be straightforward and say, don't wear slippers to work. Don't wear torn blouse to work. Don't come to work without a bra. These are things that you just have to go with the don'ts. There are a lot of do's, and that's positive. So each department will have do's and don'ts. And the dad list on the first day acclimates that person to how you think, to what you are, what the company is. And that very evening, they'll decide whether they love it,
mm-hmm,
or they want to leave. And that's when you want it to happen anyway. You don't want to train the person and then they quit because they don't like it. That first list takes care of it. So while you're growing, write these things down. You know, simple. You'd be surprised how many ways there are to turn on the radio.
You know, right.
You know, to open the store, and then the volume of the radio, which station to turn to. There are 10 things to explain to them,
mm-hmm,
to get that what comes very naturally to you.
Right.
You just reach up, you know, okay, it's 107, right, or whatever. You, right, know the volume, it's 3 clicks worth of volume. They don't know. They're used to listening to rap.
Yeah.
So they want to listen to rap, but maybe your store is not a rap store or whatever. So, you know, every little thing has to be spelled out. Once you spell it out, you're now in the process. Now you're starting to clone yourself.
Yeah, that's the point.
So now you see where we are going.
Okay. Because, and I think that if people see that, because while you were saying that, I'm thinking, well, I just took in another person this week. So our company's building, and I'm thinking, okay, that I've got enough here for now. And I'm thinking, well, I need to go ahead and start doing more of what you're talking about. But I'm thinking at the same point, well, I don't really want to get too many more people yet. But I shouldn't have that attitude. I still need to keep doing more of what you're saying, because there is going to be a time I want to keep growing the business. And even if I don't, I still need to have the people that I've got now to be really tight. Now, unfortunately, and I say this in a positive sense, but there may be some people that say, but Manna, that's a little overboard. That's a little too picky. I mean, you know, do we have to get that picky about 3 clicks on the radio? Oh. How do you respond?
I respond that if you don't teach them now, then the next 50 employees that will do that in the next 20 years,
mm,
you're going to have to correct them, each one of them. because most of them are going to do it wrong. So you might as well do it right once. And those manuals, you'll find, will get fine-tuned as you go along, right, because you thought telling them to turn on the light switch is good enough. But again, there are 10 different ways to turn on that light switch, and inevitably, they'll do it wrong. They'll find a way to do it wrong, and it's not wrong. It's just not the way you want it done. You want to clone them as close to possible as to doing business your way, because it's your money that's in the business. It's your butt. It's the banker is coming after you if things go. So you have to call the shots. It has to be your way. So you've got to put it down on paper. You've got to explain it. Maybe make a video. It's good enough. That's even probably better.
Yeah, in fact, we just had that problem today. There's somebody in the studio. They did not know how. There's something they didn't remember how to do because we hadn't done it in so long. And we brought somebody else in, and it started taking too long. I said, well, wait a minute. We have a CD on this that we did, 7 months ago. He popped in the CD. Now we have one person figuring it out as opposed to three people at how many knows dollars an hour, and it worked perfect.
There you go. You're saving money. In the business where my wife works, you have to know how to pack a package just right. Now, I don't want her to train, because we are a transient society. People move in and out of jobs. So you end up training 100 people or 200 people or 300 people in the next 5 years. Why not have one videotape and buy a $100 VCR and TV and just stick that in and let them sit in a room, and quality control is there because you're going to control that video. Yes, originally it'll cost you dollars to do it. It'll cost you time to do it.
Yeah.
But think about it. How much time you're saving in the long run? You come out a lot cheaper.
Well, you're right, Manny. You do save time in the long run, but again, that small business person mentality says, well, I don't have the time right now, and I'm not much into writing and putting things together, and so how do you help them push through that? I mean, I know we've talked about that, but they've got to get to the point of breaking that mentality. I believe if they don't do it, that's just a confirmation that they have that small business mentality, and they're going to get stuck forever.
And doomed to being small.
Yes.
And if that's where you want to be, again, that's nothing wrong with that. That's what you want. You're happy with that. Everything is hunky-dory. But if that's not where you want to be, if you want to be, one of those people that says, look, I want to own the earth, then you've got to, maybe not as a small businessman to make those manuals, but as you are growing, so now maybe you're a middle-sized business person. Maybe you can afford to hire someone that you do all the talking, they do all the writing. You think all these people who write books actually write the books themselves?
Good point.
Nobody writes their own book. They get someone who constantly follows them around everywhere they go, who sits on the sofa with them, and they just talk away, and that person takes the information and writes the book, because they are specialists in that. So you get yourself the specialist. I also believe in getting the best people for the job. Because no matter how good you are, you cannot be the best at everything. There are other people. Surprise! There are other people who are better than you at certain things. And the more you learn to admit that to yourself, the better off you are. Plus, again, you're going from small business to medium to large. You're growing, but you're only the people who put in the extra time grow. So if you finished working at your normal schedule, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening or whatever, then put aside another 2 hours in your office dedicated to to another project, to that project.
The cloning project, we should call
that's
it.
That's right.
Your cloning
that's
project.
Right.
I like
that's
that.
Exact, that's how good. That's
project.
Your, right.
There we
so
go.
So now you came up with.
We got a whole program, the cloning project.
The cloning project is very important. How many times have you had a great employee and you've said to yourself, my God, if only I could clone that person? Yep. We've all said that. Well, you can, but it takes more effort on your part. But once you do it, you only have to do it once.
Yeah, that's, see, I like that. You only have to do it once. And, you know, if we don't do it, we're doing it over and over and over, and we might not be able to physically see the cash go out of our pocket, but boy, it is rolling out of our pocket.
In your time, your effort, your hair loss, and it just makes you weary. It sucks the energy out of you to teach, and then eventually you become less patient. The first mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4 people you teach. And keep in mind, when you teach someone something, you don't just teach them once. They're not robots. They still make mistakes. You may have to teach the same person the same thing 4 times. Now, again, think of how many people you have to teach 4 times. I mean, after the 15th time, you said, what are you, stupid? And, you know, the wrong word will come out of your mouth. They quit. Your day is ruined. Yeah. You feel like you want to shoot yourself for using bad language for you with your employees. It just doesn't work.
Could have been saved.
All could have been saved. Maybe just start with a dad list. Maybe just
that's
start
a simple
with
way to, yeah.
one manual.
Yeah.
Just dad. Do's and don'ts are easy. Anybody can do this. After you get your do's and don'ts ready, done. Finished to a degree where you've printed it out on paper and it's a little booklet, then start a policy manual. So just put the basics in there. The dress code. There has to be some dress code. Some people don't like when you have an earring in your nose or a nose ring in your nose, whatever those things are called. Some employers won't hire you. Some people won't hire you if you smell bad. You know, these are things that are real, Gary.
You're right.
These are not things other people. You can talk to 10 different motivators or what's the word I'm looking for people who have been successful and who talk about their lives and so on. They're not going to give you this nitty gritty that I'm giving you.
Right.
It's a fact. I will not work with someone who smells bad.
Right.
So my policy has to say, use deodorant.
Really? And your policy, you have
policy? Oh, yes. Wow, oh, yes, my policy. Because remember, I hire college students. And their last class may be basketball or tennis or football or anything. You know, track. And... you know, they'll come to work and, you know, you'll know that they've been outdoors. And but that's not your customer's problem. Your customer wants a pleasant, nice...
experience.
You know, experience. And these little things, you pretty much have to spell it out. Every one of our toilets has a sign in front of the toilet, and on the back of the toilet, do not flush tampons in the toilet. Because this has cost us a fortune.
Mm.
Every time a new staff comes in, a young lady, you know, those things say they're flushable. But Gary, they're not flushable. They clog up your toilet. You call the plumber. It's $100. And you as a business person, that's all you can see. You see $100 bills being flushed down that toilet. And all of a sudden, you're looking at that new staff with accusation in your eye.
Yeah.
The new staff is feeling bad that I'm the new kid on the block. They're all looking at me because they think it's me, and it's not even my period. So, you know, what happened? We don't know. But if you don't head it off at the pass, there are problems later on. And I'm giving you this practical, real life.
And what's good is and I've heard this say before, if you don't pay attention to detail, you're going to work for those who do. and that's why you pay attention to detail. Let's backtrack just a little bit. What you mentioned about being a small business person, and I want others to understand that, yeah, maybe, like you said, they don't have the goal to set the world on fire. Fine, not a problem there. But I would encourage them to work to at least trying to get one or two good people. And I know, and I'll ask you for your opinion on this, what it's done for me to finally have gotten to the level, when I was able to get to the level, to have at least one assistant is nice, two assistants is really nice. And the reason for that is you know as well as I do, being a one-man band, you're going to have to do things that you just hate to do. And what will you normally do? You'll put them off to the end. And they could be some of the important things, like this manual that you're talking about and the policy manuals. And when we get somebody in and we delegate all the nasty, junky stuff that we don't like to do, they don't know the difference. To them, it's just a responsibility. You get it done, finish, what's the next one? And your production will just dramatically increase, not to mention your income, by just taking a person in who will do the things that you don't enjoy doing.
Gary, why are you talking to me? You know it all.
No, you should be
sitting on this side and doing the talking.
Well, maybe later we'll have you interview me. Keep going, though. But seriously, doesn't that make sense, though? I mean,
these are words, these are pearls of wisdom. You're absolutely right. There are two schools of thought on having one assistant. And when I say assistant, I mean a close right-hand person.
Absolutely.
Or having two. And I'll give you quickly the two schools of thought, and each of you out there listening will decide what's right for you.
Right. And I, in fact, hold your thought there. So people who, for instance, are in real estate, when you think about in real estate, you think about just being by yourself. You're a one-man band. But that's what I'm trying to get people to change that mentality. And I've seen those who are very, very successful in real estate. What do? They get an assistant. Or if you're a network marketer, work to the point where you can get somebody underneath you, delegate and so forth. So
sure.
Give me your two standards
sure,
on this. Give me your
sure.
two thoughts.
Well, one is if you have a right-hand person and they're intimately involved in your business and your thinking, what happens when they leave? You feel lonely, alone, disheartened, and you say, I got to start all over
yes.
again. And maybe you look for the tallest building to go jump off, because you want to just die. You don't want to hurt yourself. You want to die, get it over with. So I have found, for me, one doesn't work. I prefer to have two part-time, two 20, 25, 30-hour people. On top of that, I cross-train them.
Mm.
So
good,
if
okay.
one leaves, the other one can keep doing the important stuff,
right.
because each one does unimportant things that you can put off for a week or two. It gives you time to hire someone, a fresh person, go through the dad list. Here we go. This is where it's important.
Yep.
Quickly, they know the procedure, the policies and all that, the operations. You pick up some of the slack, and you don't miss a beat. I found I enjoy that so much more, because in the old days, when I used to have people who worked as hard as me, and I paid them well, I mean, I paid them very well, to pay $75,000 in retail 15 years ago, I don't think the manager of Walmart was making that kind of bucks. But I was paying that because the person was worth it. But what happens when the person leaves?
Yeah.
It really leaves you out in the cold without a jacket. So I found two or three part-timers, cross-train them. One leaves, hey, the blood doesn't leave your face when you get that phone call.
Right.
Because sometimes they're scared to tell you in person. So they call you up and say, look, you know, I don't have good news. I have bad news for you. And at that time, believe me, the blood just... You people out there who are entrepreneurs, all of you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
When the blood just leaves your whole body and you say,
oh God,
what
do I do now?
I don't want to hear this, you know? So, but you can avoid it.
You know, usually when you hear that, I shouldn't say I love doing this, but I usually will get somebody, they'll say, Gary, can I speak to you for a moment? And that they never say that. So when they sit down, I say, "So when's your last day?" And even if I'm wrong, they'll go, "What are you talking about?" But usually I'm right. They go, "Well, how did you know?"
You're right.
You know? And then what that's done is that's helped me to see the type of person that I've been hiring so I can change it. And you know, you're right when you say that they are so tight and close to you. The one girl that I have, I'll call her up at 9 o'clock at night and I'll say, "Hey, did this get done?" And fortunately, she doesn't mind it, and she'll call me up at 9 o'clock at night. "Hey, was that done? Did you sure you get that?" So what's nice, I've got somebody that I feel that's a partner, and I've talked with her, and I've let her know that I want you to be a partner with me. So, you know, when we're going to the Bahamas, I want you to feel a part of this company. And yeah, you're going to have to take stuff home at night with you, but I want you to feel a part with us so we can take you to the Bahamas and fly you to this
and enjoy the fruits.
Exactly. Sure. Because I'm going to make sure they bust their butt. And like I tell them, look, you play hard with us, we're going to work hard. So let's work hard first, then we can play.
Yep. I'm with you.